Extraordinary night last night. We've got a big game coming up tonight. Victory take on the Central Coast Mariners. And we'll have Ed Wyatt heading up the team with JP Howcroft tonight and Clint Bolton calling the game. And then the 40-agos on after that. But let's talk about last night's game because, oh, geez, tell you what, talk about have you got a week. Dave Davutovich from the Herald Sun is with us with thanks to Dream Street Lending. G'day, Dave.
G'day, Kev. It was quite an extraordinary game, wasn't it? I mean, that extra time, I don't know how much they played in the end, the stoppage time, but it felt like there was almost a third in there. It seemed to go forever.
It was amazing. 10 minutes of extra time in the end, I think it finished up.
Yeah, well, so it took it to 100 minutes. I mean, 4 or 5 minutes were taken up with the referee, Sean Evans, talking to his assistant and obviously the conjecture at the end. And yeah, quite extraordinary.
Can you take me through it? What do you reckon? I've looked on a couple of websites this morning and I haven't seen anything that actually explains. I know the second yellow for the for the Perth player. Yeah, I get that. Fernando Brandon, the immediate red card. There was a lot of discussion about who was doing what and where and how and why. Is there an explanation?
Well, yeah, I'll try and explain it as succinctly as possible. It took 5 minutes for a reason. But basically, Brandan, the referee gave Dino Djulbic, the Perth Glory defender, a red card. So he saw Djulbic lashing out at Brandan, who was already on the deck. Now, he gave him his marching orders and awarded a penalty. It happened inside the area, obviously. And then Fornaroli was lining up to take the penalty at 3-all with literally seconds to go. Then the assistant referee called the referee over.
Yep.
They had a lengthy chat, came back, gave Brandan a red card. Now, the assistant must have told him that he saw, before Djulbic's retaliation, he saw Fernando Brandan lash out at Djulbic, and then he subsequently sent him off. But he kept the penalty. The penalty remained, which in hindsight probably should have been taken away from them if he was adjudged to have made the foul earlier. But it stayed. Fornaroli stepped up and Liam Reddy saved his second penalty of the game. So went on for another 3 or 4 minutes and there were a couple of half chances for Melbourne City. But in the end, a dramatic finish, 3-all. That was the second penalty of the game for Fornaroli. Sorry, the third penalty, the second one that he missed. He put one of them away. And the first one also at 2-1, steps up in the first half and Reddy saves. And then Perth Glory went down, straight down the other end. And Diego Castro scored to equalise at 2-all. So, you know, Melbourne City had their chances to put that game away. And in the end, they can only blame themselves.
Yeah, and John Van Skip certainly said that after the game, that they had their chances. That was an extraordinary minute or so of play. When Reddy saved that penalty and they went down and Castro kicked that that second goal, that was just, I thought I was watching some sort of predetermined, scripted Hollywood movie thing.
Yeah, well, what happens when your team takes a penalty, the players are there and one or two of them might sort of follow up to, you know, to get the rebound just in case the keeper saves it or it comes off the bar or whatever. Most of the other boys are fairly relaxed, especially when you've got a guy like Fornaroli whose record is impeccable. You think he's going to score, there'll be a kickoff and we'll go from there. I don't think they expected it to come back that quickly and they got caught out. And it was, you know, classic counter-attacking football from Perth Glory, which is how they played last night and played you know, very successfully, and it was a really, really important point for them because they've been in a bit of trouble of late.
It was a remarkable game to watch. I mean, you couldn't take your eyes off it, and just the way it finished, I almost, when Liam Reddy stopped that penalty, and I'm not anti-Melbourne City by any stretch, but I cheered because I thought there is a bit of justice in the soccer world.
Yeah, well, clearly it shouldn't have stood, after what had happened, and the referee seemed to lose a bit of control of that game. Probably a little bit too much remonstrating from players as much as, you probably share their frustrations and we've all been there in whatever sport it is. But
yeah,
not a good look for the kiddies. But no, you're right, justice was probably served. It was interesting because Timmy Cahill was actually talking to Fornaroli as the referee was over with the assistant. And I reckon he would have been saying, look, Bruno, you've taken two already in a game. very unusual that you take two, let alone three penalties in a game. Do you want me to step up and take it?
Yep.
And Bruno is the captain and the superstar that he is, took responsibility, but Reddy picked it. And it goes back to the ultimate sort of discussion and debate about goalkeepers. We saw Dean Bazanis in goals for Melbourne City. He's very much been picked because of his footwork. His footwork is outstanding. Among the best in the league, and that's a big part of the way they play. They distribute from the back and play it really quickly. But if you look at, I can't remember which goal it was, but it was Chris Harrell's goal, I think the third goal, the long ball that came in over the top and ended up inside the area. Bazana should have come out and got that. He had ample time to do it. Liam Reddy has got fairly ordinary footwork compared to most of the other keepers in the A-League, but as a pure shot stopper, he's fantastic. So, yeah, last night he obviously earned his dough as a goalkeeper, and if it wasn't for him, there's no way they would have got a point out of that game.
Probably unfair to say this, but does Bazanis now have a question mark and maybe Sorensen is looming to get a game in the next time they run out?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm not sure about the next game, but I think he's earned enough brownie points to give himself a few more weeks. But, you know, when you've got a keeper of the calibre of Thomas Sorensen on the bench, you know, he started the season as a number one. They signed him as a number one. He got the red card in the first game. So, you know, the pressure's going to be on a guy like Bazanis. So, look, so far he's been pretty rock solid. He's been unflustered. You know, he was tested by... Melbourne Victory in particular. What happens is they, because he's so good with his feet, Melbourne City players will knock it back to him.
Yep.
And they'll use him as an 11th player, and thus consequently a lot of the opponents, you know, press and really press him hard. And he doesn't panic. Like, he's happy to, you know, take blokes on. I think in the derby last week there was a bit of a step over where he took on, I think it might have been Berisha. So he's been very, very composed. But, you know, still he's going to be, assessed for his all-round game. And that third goal, the glory goal, will go down as his blunder.
Yep, fair enough. Now, looking ahead to tonight, it's almost an anti-climax. I mean, I know it hasn't started yet. We don't know what sort of game we'll get, but it'd have to be something pretty special to top that one.
Yeah, that's right. That was drama-filled last night. Look, Melbourne Victory, they've been very watchable for a number of years now. So, look, Central Coast come here. They haven't really given them too much of a chance, the bookies. But I tell you what, I was doing the graphic for the paper today, and I look at the team, and I don't mind it. It's not a bad little team that they've put together. There's a couple of former Victory boys there in Scott Galloway and Connor Payne. I think about it a lot for this Central Coast team. You know, a bit of youthful exuberance. Payne's got a bit of pace down the left-hand side, some tricker, and he'll really want to prove something against, you know, his former side where he wasn't given much opportunity, and, you know, the crowd even got his back on a few occasions. And, you know, that's what happens at a club like this, where their expectations are so high. So, you know, he's gone there, he's playing week in, week out. They've been inconsistent, but I think they'll really give Victory a test today in saying that.
Just got a bit of wind there in your whistles at the moment, don't.
Move around, Kev.
Yeah, no.
It is a bloody windy day here in Melbourne. It is.
Pretty tough to get a game off the bench for Victory at the moment. You know, Beister, Georgievski, who was, you know, well, the one game, I think it was the Wellington game, he was easily the best player on the ground until he hurt his shoulder. Nick Ansell's sitting on the bench at the moment. And Jai Ingram, who's made a great impact off the bench there. He's got an embarrassment of riches again, Kevin Muscat.
Well, that's right. And Mitch Austin comes back into the side. Well, he's available anyway, but I'm not sure that they'll even have room to sneak him on the bench, because who do you take off? I mean, he's pumped up Jai Ingram for, you know, his contribution this season, particularly off the bench. He scored a couple of goals. Maxi Beister, the German gun, hasn't really had... I mean, he's had one start. Aside from that, he's just had, you know, dribs and drabs of sort of minutes. So, you know, he wants to get some minutes into him. And for balance, you need some midfielders and defenders on the bench too. So, you know, it's looking really good. And it's an absolute credit to the conditioning staff, because, you know, there's a few other teams with some serious depth in there, but there's guys missing, obviously, impact injuries, but also soft tissue injuries. But Victory's record has been impeccable for, you know, a number of seasons now. And Anthony Crea, who heads the conditioning department down there, he used to be part of the Socceroos staff a long time ago. He's about 5'1". You can't miss him, barrel-chested bloke, but he's done a fantastic job out there. So, it's really looking good. And Muscat spoke about potentially, didn't rule out making signings in the January transfer window, but said he's really happy with his squad, so he's not desperate.
4-2, your prediction in the paper. Today's another six-goal game.
Yeah, I think I tipped... I might have tipped something similar yesterday for Melbourne City, but it's that time of year, Kev. You know, Christmas, New Year's, everyone's a bit more relaxed, and I think that sort of seeps into their football. The defences are probably not as concentrated as they may otherwise be, but I reckon it'll be open tonight.
Hey, one point you make in the paper, they've got a very busy schedule, the Victory coming up. Do you expect to see that bench really get a workout tonight?
Yeah, that's right. 7 games in 30 days. It was busy as it was, but there was that postponed game away to Wellington because of the earthquake over there. So that game's been sandwiched in, and it's just before a trip over to Perth. So, you know, you're going, I don't know how many, kilometres, 3-4 hours one way, then you're going 4-5 hours the other. They will definitely be rotating the squad, and players will get an opportunity. Muscat likes to pick pretty much the same 11, but in saying that, if, a Mitch Austin, if a Nick Ansell, if a Rashid Mahazi comes in and does well and takes his opportunity, then they'll certainly come into the reckoning thereafter.
Yeah, looking forward to tonight. Just back on the game last night, Neil Kilkenny, and we're going to probably play it later on during the day, the after-match interviews they did with Zappers, Neil Kilkenny and Liam Reddy. Will he get into trouble for what he said last night? Because he was very critical of the officials.
Yeah, I think he might. He brought up some stuff from previous games.
Yeah.
I think he might. And, it's fair enough. There's been a fair bit of criticism of the referees this season. I think it's partly justified in the sense that the refereeing has been poor, but the players need to understand their responsibility. I was there last night. A lot of kids in the stands and kids watching on TV, they need to understand that they're, they're part of a bigger picture here. So, but look, last night, fair dinkum, Melbourne City, they missed 2 penalties and the last penalty shouldn't have stood. So
yep.
Maybe they need to look at themselves in the mirror and take a bit of responsibility.
Just quick to finish, Dave, on that whole officials situation, there's no other game in the world where the officials are under as much intense, in-your-face pressure from players. I mean, they literally, when they point to the penalty spot, 20 blokes gang the bloke who's blown the whistle. They've got to do something to eradicate that out of the game too, I would have thought.
Yeah, that's right. And I think the FFA needs to take a lead, and the clubs as well need to take some responsibility in that. I think they need to sit down and work something out. In terms of fixing the standard of officiating, what they try and do, they try and sort of identify younger referees and fast-track them, and sometimes they're not ready. Like, I was looking at Sean Evans last night, and he doesn't like... When I say confrontation, I mean, verbal discussion, explaining decisions and whatnot, and a lot of the older referees, they tend to, they're the ones that are a bit more self-confident, and they're happy to chat with players and tell them where to go if they're getting a bit too lippy. And I think that's what you need. And we've seen a lot of good referees retire too early, not just here but overseas too. I remember the Italian Pierluigi Collina, the bald bloke who did a couple of World Cup finals and a handful of UEFA Champions League finals. I mean, he was a champion. And, under FIFA rules, he had to retire at, in his early 40s. I mean, I can't see a reason why referees shouldn't go into their, into their 50s if they're fit and healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
The older you get, the wiser you get. So, some of these young guys, they're, a bit sort of rabbit in headlights. So don't push them in too early if they're not ready for it.
Absolutely. Good on you, Dave. Always appreciate your time and good reading today once again in the Herald Sunday. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks, Kev.
Dave Davutovich there joining us with thanks to Dream Street Lending, dreamstreet.com.au.